Have you received God's goodness?
Yes.
All right. I was beginning to wonder. I didn't know if I was in the right place or not. We have been so overwhelmed by God's goodness. We just need to pay attention and take it in. So I encourage you to continue to do that in your lives. And that's part of what we're going to be sharing today is to be able to know that God is good and His goodness is all around us and always active in our lives. Let's turn to our announcements this morning. There's really not that many this morning, but one of the main things that we need to make sure everybody's aware of is there's the men's garage sale is this weekend coming up, and they need all the help they can get. So if you have a chance, there's a sign-up sheet to let them know when you're available, what you're willing to do. That they would appreciate that immensely. So this is not just a men's event. The men are planning it and putting it on, and they would appreciate any help that they can get to bless our community. Coins for missions next week, don't forget that. Take notes of the men's and women's groups that are coming up in the week or two. And the kits time, we've been getting in a fair amount of the kits being made. There are the instructions and the bags out there, so continue to bring them in. We have a couple more weeks yet, so we can make sure we have a good offering there. Again, if you're still thinking about the mentoring at Shawnee Elementary, I just want to encourage you to consider that. There are a little blue surveys that are out on the left side as you go out on the table. If you want to fill one of those out, give it back, and we'll make sure you get connected. With that, let us prepare for worship with our prelude. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Please stand as you are able and join with me in the call to worship. Creator, you bless us with the heavenly lights. In the darkness you call out, let there be light. You are our Creator, to the one who formed us and who forms us still. Ring out today with your call to new life. Please remain standing and join in the opening hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus, hymn number 189. Be seated. And please join with me in our opening prayer. Creating God, you are the source of nature's splendor, the beauty and fragrance of delicate flowers and sweet sound of birdsong. We come to you this morning with delight and gladness, grateful for all your wonders. As the fields produce their harvest, may your love grow within us, that we too may produce a harvest of love, hope, and joy. Amen. Children, please come forward for our children's moment.
You know, try this one.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Okay, so we are going to have a really short children's lesson, and then I have a activity for you to do during the service. And then also I have an activity for all the children out in the congregation. If they so choose, they can take this challenge too.
Children of all ages.
Children of all ages. So Jesus has went by many different names in his life. He has been called our Savior. He is our Lord. He is Jesus. Sometimes they call him Emmanuel. But one of the first things he was called was Rabbi. And in Hebrew, that language, that means teacher. So he was a teacher first, which is pretty cool because he had a lot of lessons. Last week, Julie talked about one of the lessons that the Bible taught us. It came in threes. And this lesson from our scripture today comes in threes. So one of the things that Jesus talks to his, one of the things that they Jesus talks about is making sure that we listen and we listen quick. I've never thought about this before, but not very much do we think about listening quick. We want to raise our hand quick in school. We want to be the first to answer a lot of times. We want to be the first one to win a race, but not very often do we listen quick and we think to be slow to talk. But that is what the Bible teaches us. Listen quick and be slow to talk. That is something that I try to do every year as a person, as a man, as in my job, because I try to be a good teacher too in my job. And as a dad, I try to listen quick and listen more and maybe wait to speak, not speak so quick without thinking. And what I found is if I can listen quick and wait to talk, sometimes I am less angry or frustrated in time. So the last thing Jesus says, or the Bible says, is be slow to anger. Don't get angry so quick. So listen quick. Maybe listen before you think to talk. Be slow to speak and be slow to anger. Okay, so Jesus was a teacher. Jesus said one of the best things you can do is really listen well. Be a good listener. So the challenge is today I want you to listen during the sermon, and all I want you to do is listen for at least one thing you've learned from this teacher,
uh-oh,
Pastor Jeff, and if you, after the sermon, you tell me what you learned, you get another piece of candy. And I have more candy than this. The challenge is from you, all of you, too. If you tell me after the sermon one thing you've learned, I'll be back there. I'll have some candy. I might run out of some of this candy. I might have some of the me and my brothers and sisters called grandma candy. We had mints and butterscotches back there I can hand out. So I have Tootsie Pops because my wife said this might be too much of a cruel joke, but I have heard this from my mom before. To be a good listener, sometimes you give a kid a sucker, because you have to be a good listener when you have a sucker in your mouth because you can't talk as much. So here's a sucker for the sermon. And then give one to your brother. And so let's pray. Jesus, thanks for letting us come together, and let us have a great week, and let us, during this week, think of being quick to listen, and listen to others, and learn from others, and listen for your words in all that we do and others do. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, you guys can go back, and we are going to our prayer hymn, The Gift of Love, hymn number 408.
just go before the Lord, always remembering how much good God gives and how we are there to receive. Let us go before our Lord and pray. Amazing and wonderful God, we come to you on this day where we gather to worship together. We open ourselves up to you, maybe differently than we do the rest of the week. Give you a moment to speak to us as we are here in this place together. So Lord, speak to us. Have us be able to hear what it is you have for us. Have us to understand all that you already give us. Lord, there are times when we are caught up in what we're doing that we don't really listen well. So Lord, we just ask that you would be a little more direct with us maybe today. And as Chad has already mentioned, for us to be listening. Maybe to caution ourselves from wanting to answer before we digest a little bit more of what you have to say. Lord, we are grateful how merciful you are, how patient you are with us, how that you meet us wherever we are, how you always are the one that we can turn to. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful for who you are, the glowing character that you present, the one that you're trying to nurture in us. Lord, help us to know more about love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and gentleness, and just sheer goodness. That it feeds into our faithfulness in the way we walk with you. So Lord, we present ourselves to you this day and every day as we take our journey away from this place, that we don't forget that you are the one that inspires us. May we seek you for that inspiration. And may we be the ones that share the love that you've called us to do. And now let us pray together with one voice, sharing the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now as we respond to our Lord and Savior who taught us more about being generous, about recognizing what has been given, and know that all things come from our Lord. And as we understand more, we are able to give more. And as we give, we are able to bless more. Let us be a blessing to our community today. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join in the prayer of dedication. God of every good gift, bless the gifts of our resources, our prayers, and our lives. Bless these gifts for the good of others and to the honor of your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. I forgot how much I liked that song. Our scripture reading is from James chapter 1, verse 17 through 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Well, schools in the area are in full swing now. The beginning days of settling into the new year with new opportunities, new challenges, new environments, new teachers, and of course, new schedules. Well, they're behind us now. For the most part, students have transitioned from summer mode to learning mode. Really, we are always learning, if we know it or not. Or at least we have the capacity to learn. From the time we are born, we are literally learning to live. Now, Suzanne and I, we have been paying more attention to this process recently since our granddaughter Sophia was born. She is 10 months old now. We do not get to see her too often, so when we do see her, we notice the new things that she has learned. Last Sunday, we were able to meet them for lunch, and she was able to feed herself pieces of chicken, just biting them, sweet potatoes and strawberries, with just a little bit of monitoring. It was pretty cool to watch. She was waving hello, you know that, and we didn't get really to see it in action, but evidently she is crawling now and pulling herself up some. She has learned so much already, and of course there's so much more to come. But much of what we learn comes from watching others and imitating what we see. We also obviously respond to instruction from teachers and coaches and mentors. Of course, with the internet and Amazon, we have access to a myriad of self-help books and videos to teach us to cook, to fix about anything, to exercise, garden, learn about new means of self-care, to speak a new language, to meditate, you name it. However, we also know that just learning about something doesn't mean we can or will do what we learn. Sometimes we learn things just to understand them, not for the purpose of being able to do it ourselves. We may learn about a medical diagnosis or a new philosophy without any intention of becoming a doctor or changing our way of life. But when it comes to our faith in God revealed through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what we learn, we are supposed to live out. Turning to the Apostle James this morning, he encouraged Christ followers to learn and live by the instruction, ways, and guidance that is revealed to us. How do we put our faith understanding into faith practice? For a long time, it was easy for me to learn and to apply what I was learning without much trouble. School was fairly easy for me growing up. When someone showed me how to do something, I could usually pick it up pretty quickly. I could play just about any sport that I was introduced to and tried. But I learned while I was studying to be an electrical engineer that I couldn't understand how the math I was doing and was able to do translated into something usable. It was then that I decided to work toward becoming a software engineer. I understood how logical instruction completed a task, even though I still didn't understand how what I was programming made things appear on the screen of my computer. I had to depend on my electrical engineering friends to help out with that. Excuse me. Like I had trouble with electrical engineering, our faith understanding can be something hard for us to translate into the way we live. However, regarding our faith, we aren't fully dependent on ourselves and our own capacity to move from faith understanding to faith practice. We have a God who is faithful to completing this work in us. Now, we do have to participate in the work. James wrote this letter to primarily Jewish Christians who were spread out all across the Roman Empire. They were a small minority people whose faith in Christ was mocked and discounted, and they were often subject to suffering in various ways. They were struggling in many ways, including just struggling with the opposition to their faith. Their response, apparently, according to James writing to them, wasn't always Christ-like. James wrote to remind them of what they learned to respond differently. So James encouraged, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created." We may not be faced with the same challenges and suffering of the early Christians, but the reality that life on earth isn't a cakewalk is still true today. We all have the potential to experience hardship, disease, tragedy, disappointment, abuse, setbacks, natural disasters, loss, criminal acts against us, bad breaks, and any other negative occurrence possible in life. Here's what we must know. God isn't behind these things. God is good, is the source of all good in our lives, and desires for us to experience goodness. Sometimes stuff does just happen. But the majority of bad stuff is instigated by human selfishness and desire. The way we treat ourselves, treat others, and creation negatively impacts life on earth for all of us. Now, of course, not all we do has ill effects on the world. But it is humanity's collective actions and inactions and the influence of forces opposing God, not God, that bring about the not good things in life. God's goodness is all around us in creation, with new mercies every morning, with the rising sun, with every breath we take into our lungs, in the many relationships that we have been created to have with one another, and especially in the new life that we have through Jesus Christ, the Word of truth and His Spirit. God's goodness is constant, and God doesn't keep goodness from us. Rather, God chooses to give good gifts to everyone, regardless of who they are. That is grace. However, we can be consumed by our own situations and forget that God is good and even blame God for anything and everything that is not going our way. But to practice our knowledge that God is good, we praise God's goodness and grace that is given. Every day we can praise the Lord with thanksgiving for even the littlest of the good that we can find. And as we do this, we will discover how good God really is and experience more fully the good that God gives. And as a kind of first fruits, we are to be agents of goodness in the world. We could change the world we live in by our response of faith, by first praising God for the good that our God is. For us to be the first fruits of goodness, we have to change first. James warned, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that is planted in you, which can save you." What do we know about Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross? Paul taught this: "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life." We know in Christ we are set free from sin. Sin isn't the power that leads our life anymore. Rather, the power of Christ in us is leading and forming us toward holiness, where holiness is simply living rightly with God and rightly with others. We know this in our heads, but has it sunk into our hearts that motivates how we live? The most helpful way of understanding sin for me is recognizing sin as selfishness. Now first, self-love or care is not selfishness. Our right relationship with God actually informs our understanding of loving ourselves. To know how we should love others. To love others doesn't mean we submit to being taken advantage of, used, or abused. We need to know what healthy boundaries are. Knowing our boundaries, we should be able to interpret the difference between self-love and care and selfishness. Selfishness is choosing self over others for our benefit. Even though we are free from the power of sin or selfishness, our instinct, our mind and muscle memory, if you will, still responds quickly to our situations until we are able to train our minds and our hearts to respond from a place of selflessness. The Holy Spirit is working in us to help us move from that selfishness to selflessness. But we have to practice what we have already learned. To cooperate with the Spirit, we accept Christ's freedom from selfishness by putting others first. Now, James said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We have to be quick to do what we have learned as right living, or our old selves will kick in. Quick to listen and slow to speak is another way of saying, be quick to put others first. You see, arguments are born out of selfishness. Conversations and even healthy debate happen when we put others first. Anger occurs when we are not heard or not given the chance to speak without interruption. This is just one area in our lives where selfishness is demonstrated. Be mindful of all the other ways you can put others first throughout your day and practice doing it. Soon you will put others first instinctively. as a new creation in Christ, as the Holy Spirit works in us. Now, the Word of God, written in the Scriptures, incarnate in Jesus Christ, and revealed by the Holy Spirit, teaches us not only who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, but who we are and how we are to relate with God and others and ourselves. Also, the Word of God is alive. The Word of God speaks to us in various ways through various means, especially when we are, well, quick to listen and slow to speak. This is something we are to know. And if you have not learned this before and just needed reminding perhaps, God speaks to us. Henry Blackaby, in his study Experiencing God, taught this: God speaks by the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. Understanding God speaks to us in this way has helped me tremendously, because I didn't always think that God was in the business of speaking to us now. Since I do expect the Word of God to interact with me in my life now, reading these words from James gets my attention. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Without Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God class, and these verses from James being highlighted on my men's Emmaus walk for me to contemplate on, I would not have heard my call to be a pastor, nor would I have answered my call. As I left my Emmaus weekend with a clear message from God of this: be listening, because I have something for you to do. It was a month later or so that I heard my call while reading 1 Timothy chapter 3. After I couldn't deny what I heard, I took steps to do what it said. To practice our faith, we actively learn and live the Word of God we hear. This banner, hear and do, with the James passage here, was my ordination banner that was created, because this is what brought me to that space. From James's analogy, what I want you to note is the one who forgets what he looks like in the mirror only took a glance. But the one who looks, but the one who was blessed in doing the Word of God was intently engaged with God's Word. The written Word can only speak to us if we read it, expecting to be spoken to. The Holy Spirit can only reach us to guide us and inspire us if we are listening, learning, and doing what is said to us. God's Word meets us where we are and comes alive when we need to hear it. Sometimes the passage that we are reading has nothing to do with what we hear. The point is, we are seeking a Word from God, and God's goodness wants to bear good fruit in us and through us. James cautioned those claiming to have faith in Jesus Christ, saying, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." For many, their religion has become ritual, not reality. What I mean is, what they know and learn is not realized in their lives. We can go to church, attend Sunday school, even read the Bible and pray, but what impact do these rituals have on the way that we live? To discern our faith practice, we examine our response to assure God's goodness is produced in and through us. Now, there are many, many ways that we could do this. One way that I've come across is what is called examen prayer. It is something we can do daily, or we could do, as we think about it, to just do it periodically. As a means to approach God with an honest look at our faith response. The way we do this is we go in prayer and we spend some time reflecting on Thanksgiving, followed by a plea for the Holy Spirit to guide our time with God to be as real as possible, to expose where we have missed the mark, where we have done things well, and where we can go and grow. Then we review our day or days and pay attention to what the Holy Spirit highlights for us. We repent of anything selfish, and we receive encouragement for our selflessness. And finally, we ask for a renewed confidence to listen, learn, and live well in the likeness of Christ. So friends, Jesus perfects the law in us. Live like Him in the world. We are to learn and live it as it is revealed to us. It doesn't come all at once. To mature in our faith, we have to practice what we know to be the Word of truth. We can take steps of putting our faith into practice by praising God's goodness and grace that is given to us. Accept the freedom from sin and selfishness that we have in Christ by thoughtfully putting others first. And actively pursue the Word of God to not only hear and learn what it says, to live according to what we hear, and frequently examine our response to assure we are producing God's goodness as the first fruits of God's new creation. You see, all good gifts come from God. Let's be blessed in the doing what God desires in us and of us. Amen. This morning we have the opportunity to gather as the body of Christ around Christ's table. As we come to this table, we recognize how we are not perfected yet. We have to recognize that we need to turn over all those things to the God that we say, I know I'm not quite right, help me. So as we come to the table, I just ask that we just take a moment of silence as we prepare ourselves and just confess, Lord, I am not perfect. I am in your hands. Let's pray. Lord, I may not be ready to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Amen. As we think about the story that is revealed in our scriptures, it's a story of redemption. All the way from the beginning, we see God coming back for us. We're the ones that walked away. God comes and has come in many different ways and has started with just a few, and it's grown as you go throughout the scriptures. You can see how it goes from just one person to one family to one nation, and it goes on to all the world. We're on this journey We're a part of that same journey that began long, long, long ago. We can't forget about what happened before. Because without understanding what happened before, it doesn't bring us to this table. But it is through the life of Jesus Christ that comes out of this tradition of understanding. It is Jesus who comes and says, "I am the Lamb." If we don't know what that is from reading and understanding what that is, we have no idea. We don't understand the sacrifice. We don't understand the covenant that is being made in the sacrifice. As we come and put ourselves in the story and become a part of the story and be saved through the story, that's when we are made alive. As we are grateful for all that God has done, and we can see how His story and all that is revealed does mean it is for us as well. That is when we can be grateful and thank God for all these good things that have been revealed to us. But it is in Jesus Christ, the Son, who was revealed to the world, where things really became real for so many to understand where we have walked. Not quite the right route. Even when we were trying to be as God had called us to be and trying to follow the rules, we just couldn't do it. Jesus was sent as the one who could show us the way, but also redeem us. So as He was gathered at a table, not quite like this, but He was gathered with His friends, He was talking to them, His disciples that were closest to Him, who were beginning to understand what it was for Him to be the Messiah, the one who came to save them. He changed things on them on a meal that they were so used to. So as He took bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He gave it to them. He said, "This is My body that is given for you. As often as you eat of it, remember Me." Then after the supper, He took the cup, and He gave thanks. And He gave it to His disciples and said, "This is My blood, blood of the new covenant, that is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of Me." So as we remember, we ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood through this new covenant. And pour out Your Spirit on us, please, O God. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. And through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in Your holy church, may all honor and glory be Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The table has been set. And we here at the United Methodist Church, we welcome all to the table. We call it an open table. One that you, no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, if you can say, "I know that I am not right and I want to be right with Christ," even if you have not been to a church, you can come to the table and receive. That is God's grace. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? We'll be receiving the elements. Everybody hold on to them, and we will take them one at a time together. This is the body of Christ that has been given for us. Receive it and know that we are experiencing this time with Christ with us at this time. Take and eat. Blood of the new covenant, the one that brings us in the fold that we have with Jesus Christ. Take and drink. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for that you brought to us, that you offer us your presence to be with us in a special way. We don't claim to understand how it is that you are present with us, but Lord, we are grateful. May we experience you, and may we be able to walk with you, talk with you, hear, listen, and go with you. Amen.
Please rise for our closing hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. We'll be singing verses 1 through 4.
We have been born anew in the Word of Truth. We have to be listening and hearing it and walking in it. So I encourage you to continue to know that the Lord is marching on. We're going with Him. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.